The room was dim and smelled like old socks and mildew. There were pizza boxes strewed about the floor. It was small and crowded, with a rumpled, unmade bed and a couple of ratty chairs. Racks of mysterious electronic equipment cluttered the space. A young man with a mass of unruly brown hair streaked blonde at the tips was sitting draped across a swivel chair, displaying the dirty soles of his feet. The single narrow window opened onto a narrow alley, but was stifled with dark curtains. Only a little wan light from a cloudy late-afternoon Prussian sky filtered in at top and bottom. The rest of the illumination, such as it was, spilled from a 30-inch LCD computer monitor that must have cost more than everything else in the tiny third-floor walk-up flat together, including the arcane gear, which had the look of something salvaged.
What we have is somebody most very clever, but not so clever as leave you.
Can you trace the IP address, Leavey?
Not as such. It is phony as $2 bill, you know?
No.
The path on your email is spoofed. It appears to originate from Universidad de Buenos Aires in Argentina, but it does not.
No?
Computer security in South America is legend for badness. Worse even than English corporate. Somebody has broken in and made their system look as if it sent message, but it is only relay. This tracing back is not so easy, you know. This is important, though, no? Enough to pay important money?
We've been over this already, Leavey. You're getting paid importantly enough, don't you think?
Tex laid a heavy hand on the kid's shoulders, and Anya noticed him tense up. Apparently, he read a threat that she couldn't hear. Winston's hand was definitely saying something.
I need your help, Leavey, please. It's an emergency.
Well, since I am sucker for pretty face, especially pretty face of so famous Anya Creed, I will do it. Just for you understand.
Smiling, Tex started to pat the boy encouragingly on the shoulder, but Leavey batted him away. Tex withdrew his paw, looking hurt.
Do not touch Leavey while he do work. So, I penetrate the UBA system using the power of my mighty supercomputer, and then...
Wait, supercomputer?
Yes, Anya Creed. I have dozen Pentium processors wired in massively parallel array. Makes supercomputer.
Whatever you say, Leavey.
So, I fear there is no way to ascertain who has originated this email. Even for Romanian boy genius with homemade supercomputer.
Son, if you're still thinking about jacking us up for more money...
No. Would never dream, Tex Winston. Would never dream. Truly, I cannot find who, but I can find where.
Leavey moved the mouse, clicked. A window appeared in the lower right-hand corner showing a satellite shot from Google Earth. A circle appeared, highlighting a section of the map.
Northern Scotland?
Somewhere in here, your fake 419 email comes from.
The middle of the North Sea.
So traffic analysis tells Leavey. Is very clever software development by your American NSA.
You hacked into no such agency?
Not even Leavey is so bold. I may be crazy, but I am not insane. I do not wish to end like Carl of Chaos Computer Club burned up in my own Volkswagen in some woods.
I thought the KGB did that.
So he said, but KGB, CIA, NSA, all say, you play in their games one rule. You lose. No, National Security Agency generously shares its software with noble allies in the war on terror. But not all so very clever as trapping intruders. It's crippleware, no doubt, but it works enough, as you can see.
So it's a dead end. How are we going to find Yaja now?
Tex went to clap the boy on the shoulder, but stopped his hand just an inch away, as if repelled by an invisible force field.
Great job, Leavey. We'll take it from here.
Where? right
where our friend showed us, of course.
But it's the middle of the North Sea.
So that's where we'll track it down. Don't worry, Anya. I told you. I know people.
When the aircraft touched down, someone unsnapped Yaja from her seat, urged her up, and guided her forward along the aisle to the front of the aircraft, then out into a brisk, saltwater-scented breeze. She stayed on autopilot and let the world happen around her. It wasn't as if she was unaccustomed to zoning out into a private world of intellectual reverie. After landing and being taken from the plane, Yaja had been escorted across the tarmac and put on yet another helicopter. Again losing track of time, she had no idea how long she was in the air, but she could tell by the low temperature that it was night when she arrived at her destination. Still hooded and bound, she was unstrapped from the seat and escorted by two guards down a driveway, down a set of metal steps, and into a clammy cellar. She had been left here for some time. Whether it was 1 hour or 12, she could not tell. She passed most of the time dozing and struggling against the uncomfortable plastic zip ties that held her hands in place behind her. Finally, she had been untied, unhooded, and fed. Several anonymous silent guards led her up a different set of steps, revealing her location, a windowless wood cabin. It was small and spare and dank, but certainly more comfortable than the humid, stinking basement she'd been kept in at first. Now, Yaja had been roused from her cabin and brought into an office with curling papers covering a metal desk and a desktop computer with a noticeable monitor flicker. She was wearing the long, shapeless sweater she had been given when she had first been untied. But despite the perpetual chill of her unorthodox prison, her long, pale legs were bare between the hem and her tennis shoes. Two men sat behind a table facing her. One was a bald bear of a man, his face as cold as ice. He wore a red-checked flannel shirt and green work pants and reminded Yaja, uncomfortably, of pictures of her father during his days as a Chicago plumber. The other had thick white hair and lilac eyes. He was dressed elegantly in a dark blue double-breasted jacket. He casually picked at a bowl of steamed vegetables that was set before him. The two were surrounded by several massive bodyguards. The bald man surveyed her up and down for a few moments in silence before beginning.